Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast, is brought to you by The Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. It's an intersection of sports and not sports. You know, we'll talk about anything. You can check us out at www.sportsdrink.org. Or at Sports Drink on Instagram, at Sports Drink without the vowels. Check us out. Leave the door open because you know we're trying to let the funk out. Welcome in to another Pit Panther Rants and other Sports Rants podcast. Wyatt Harris, your host. Brought to you by the Sports Drink, obviously. And it is game week. As Thursday, Pitt's football journey, I guess you can say, resumes. So much has happened in the last, 8 months. Finally, we get to, sit back and enjoy another time of college football. I mean, I did watch one game over the weekend. I watched Nebraska and Northwestern. The first drive for Nebraska, I can say it did look like the Pitt offense we all know and love with Kenny Pickett. But as you know, first drives in almost any football game like that, it's kind of a mirage because there's also, because there's, you know, you had that drive, but there's also, you got, say that drive lasts maybe 3 minutes possibly, you've got 57 other minutes in that game yet. So, and when you're playing against Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, it's going to be a marathon. It's going to be. It's not going to be a fast, 100 meter or whatever track race. It's going to be a long ass marathon. Pat's going to make you go 26.2 miles? Yeah, he's going to make you go the full 26 miles. You know, you're not going to go 13. You're not going to do a 5K. Or 10K, it's going to be the full 26.2. That's how Pat Fitzgerald is. I mean, he's a very patient guy. People were bashing him because he was early in the game, he kicked the field goal to make a 7-3. And I guess late in the game, he kicked the field goal, which they missed. But that's just how he is. I think what he does is he looks at the whole big picture of how the game's going. And he's just like, you know what? Let's just kick here because I think, we'll get the ball back eventually, the way things are going. And you can tell by Nebraska's body language, especially from the quarterback, that he was overwhelmed. He didn't know what to do. Nothing, no matter what they did, wasn't working. And, Pat Narduzzi, does get a lot of crap for bashing his coworkers. And I said that before, it could be, what he's doing could come back to bite him, but in this instance on Saturday, he was right. Don't fuck with the dudes. He tends to know what he's talking about. But I mean, Northwestern started to get to the quarterback, and of course, their confidence just was, Nebraska's confidence was shattered, and they came out. They eventually won the game. I mean, it's what it is. It's like I said, the marathon. Nebraska started to get gassed towards the end. Northwestern still jogging along, doing at the same pace of what they had, started the first game, beginning the game with. Still jogging, hardly out of breath. Nebraska huffing and puffing, and that was it. I mean, I did see Vanderbilt, Hawaii, and people were really really pumped up about Vanderbilt right now, but you got to realize it's Hawaii. I mean, this isn't the Cole Brennan Hawaii. you know, that they played. It's just Hawaii hasn't really. I mean, have they been? They haven't really been good in recent years. Well, they haven't. You know. Well, let's share the recent records. Let's see. They had, you know. Yeah, they haven't been really that great. Although they had a little resurgence with Nick Rolovich, they finished 10-5. Todd Graham took them over next year, went 5-4, 6-7. Well, not too bad, but still, they're Hawaii. They're not the Colt. Well, the Colt Brennan Hawaii finished. What was it? 11-3, 12. Yeah, that was under June Jones. Okay, this isn't the June Jones Hawaii. Okay, it isn't. So let's get over that. I mean, definitely isn't. They're just Hawaii. But you know, I'm surprised a lot of athletes don't go to Hawaii to play football or basketball. I mean, it's obviously a beautiful place, beaches, whatever. I'm very surprised that, you know, that they don't really get enough. Well, they play in the Mountain West now, and so it's not a very, you know, attractive type of gig. But you know, I think personally, if your college football career is going nowhere, and say you're playing for a P5 team and you want to go have a change of scenery, I say go to Hawaii. Transfer to Hawaii. You know, sure, you're not going to probably play in any big bowl games or whatnot, but at least you're going to be, you know, have nice weather, you know, lots of good scenery, all that stuff. Although I could be wrong about all that. Who knows? Now, other things that happened. Top Gun's in the theaters. And, it's still in the theaters, I think. But it's available on streaming now, which I purchased it because I know that it's going to save me whatever money I'm spending at the Studio Movie Star Cinema Grill, where basically I'm paying my, you know, I think my ticket will be like, the ticket's like, at the Star Cinema is probably like $12 maybe, or $10. But I'm getting those leather reclining seats, and they're not connected together. They're all on their own separate, you know, things. And a plus, you know, I'm getting really good food. I mean, burgers, all, you know, street tacos, all kind of stuff you can order from there. I mean, it's like being an actual decent restaurant and a movie theater at the same time. I mean, I used to love going to Lowe's early when it opened, because I love going to the bar and, you know, having a few beers and going. And of course, you get the drink beer and what's it called in the first class. But Star Cinema, you get to drink alcohol no matter where you sit. There's no first class seating at all. It's just all the seats are leather. Everything's good, and it's more of a grown up type audience. You know, you're not dealing with a lot of little kids running around up and down the thing. Usually, if I take my kids to theaters, I'm going to go somewhere where there's other little kids. But at this point, they're a little bit more grown up now to know to be quiet, and they don't need to, you know, have walk around the theater. They can sit still. But needless to say, I enjoyed the whole theater experience of going to see Top Gun. I saw it three times, and you know, purchasing the movie for $20, which is kind of steep for a digital movie. Well, you know, it's no different. I mean, if you paid $20 for a DVD back in the late 90s or early 2000s, even VHS, still, you know, it's no big difference. Now, there were some movies where I had to go to Suncoast, actually, in the Century Street Mall to get to buy them, because they were never available at Circuit City or Best Buy. And it was, you know, like the Kevin Smith movies. I remember Mallrats. The only place I could find that was Suncoast. You know, Circuit City didn't have it. Best Buy wasn't even open yet. No, they weren't. But I think Circuit City just opened in around Pleasant Hills. But, you know, Best Buy really didn't open until 97, I remember. Whatever Sun TV still as well. My Sun TV was not a good place to buy stuff as well. CDs, you know, DVDs. Of course, they closed. Well, wait a second. Best Buy came in 97. And Sun TV closed. It was 98 they closed. At least the one in Pleasant Hills did. I mean, I always enjoyed Sun TV and appliances because, especially for computer stuff, if you wanted good deals, you went there. But then, Circuit City and Best Buy came in and ruined that. It's like, you know, also in Pleasant Hills, you had Busy Beaver, you had Builder Square, you had Heckinger's. You had like three home improvement places to go to. Then Home Depot came in and killed all three of them. And I remember I was going to Heckinger's for something one time, and some guy was like, "Yeah, you should come work here. They took really good care of us. You know, they're a great place." And he was telling me all the stuff they do for them on Labor Day. They have this Labor Day picnic or whatever. Yeah, a year later they were out of business. Builder Square was still there. Busy Beaver, the crazy part is, out of all those in that Century 3 area, Home Depot killed every single one of those except for Busy Beaver. Busy Beaver stayed open a long time, I remember. Way after Heckinger's and Builder Square. But now Home Depot is the top dog, and pretty much when you talk about going anywhere, it's going to be either Home Depot. It's going to be your Home Depot or Lowe's. So, all right, well, I've been rambling here about a whole bunch of stuff. I'm supposed to actually talk about the Pitt, you know, Pitt football season, and I'm not. But first of all, let's get the Pitt West Virginia game out of the way. I think in this game, you know, we'll see a balanced attack like what we'll see with Frank Sinetti. The thing is what's great about this is Pitt has the offensive line with their stars back. They have, you know, plenty of depth at running back and plenty of, you know, staple receivers and tight ends as well. I mean, they got a whole bunch of products on the shelf that they can pull off and use whichever. That's a really good thing. The big issue is quarterback, I think, still. You know, I watched Keaton Slovis last year at USC, and especially the Notre Dame game. And if we're getting that Keaton Slovis, we're pretty much going to be screwed. So I'm happy that he's accurate, because I did watch the Pitt spring game. I saw if there's one thing about Nick Pallia that really hurt him was his accuracy. The guy's very mobile, but if you're not accurate enough to hit these receivers, and you're not going to play much. But my hope for Keaton is he's able to get the ball out quickly, get through his progressions. You know, what we saw with Kenny Pickett last year, I'm hoping we can see with Keaton Slovis. That's what I'm hoping. And, you know, Kenny's obviously getting settled in with the Steelers as well. I mean, he's finding his niche. I mean, he's not going to play right away. I mean, you do have a small minority of Mason Rudolph people, and it just is what it is. I mean, he's going to go somewhere else and play, and hopefully he picks up. I mean, you know, hopefully he goes somewhere where he can compete for a starting job to show what he's worth. But he had his opportunity last year, and I mean, I'm sorry, tying a shitty Detroit team is no excuse for that. I don't care what it is, how bad the line is. But last year, basically, a washed-up Ben Roethlisberger was the Steelers' best chance at winning games last year, and that was pretty bad. You know, Mason wasn't all. You know, Mason just is what he is. The same with Dwayne Haskins. God rest his soul. I mean, he was a first-round pick, and it didn't work out. But as far as this game, as Pitt West Virginia goes, I expect West Virginia to probably challenge Pitt's passing game. They're probably going to, you know, get seven, you know, they're probably going to put some, you know, they're going to pressure Keaton early and try to shut down Pitt's running game. But I think he'll, you know, Sagnay will throw some wrinkles in. He'll get the backs involved. Pitt should win this game, no excuse. But if you look at the Pitt's margin of victory since 2000 against West Virginia, it's not really good. It's less than double digits. So if Pitt wins this game, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a close one. You know, it could possibly be a low scoring one at that. So I mean, if Pitt does win a low scoring game, don't be surprised. If they knock the block off of West Virginia, I'll be even more surprised. But that's just what I expect. Now look at the Pitt preview that Amanda Godsey put out. I looked at hers last year as well. I mean, I used hers. Pretty good stuff. I mean, she talks about the quarterbacks. And she talked about how Slovis has developed a connection with the receiving corps before training camp even began. That's really cool because she mentions that Joe Burrow did the same exact thing with, you know, with guys like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase when they went for the national championship. And, of course, he said he and receivers had a goal of getting 10,000 throws over the summer. And that's what she says here, that Joe Burrow and their corps did this as well. That was their goal. So, I mean, that's good. If he's getting on the same page as receivers, that makes me a lot more happier. Yeah, losing, they lost five receivers, but they added, you know, Kanana Mumfield, Bob Beans from Louisiana Tech. They got Asin Copeland. They got Shane Nablaco. I butchered that. Of course, they got Jared Wayne, Jalen Barron, Jaden Bradley, and Miles Austin. They got a whole bunch of staples there. And, of course, they got Tequan Underwood as a receivers coach this year. I mean, he's going to be doing more than just coaching receivers. He's got more responsibility. And of course, they got their tight ends, Gavin Bartholomew and Kai Wright. And, of course, you know, they got running backs. They got Israel Abakanada, Vincent Davis, Ronnie Hammond. You know, they got those two guys. They got those three guys. And, of course, they got Daniel Carter, who's more of a fullback. And they got Sebo Thomister. I mean, you know, they got their situation offensively is a lot better than what it was a few years back. I mean, at one time they had, they were solid at running back with Olsen and Walls. Or I should say, Darren Hall, I should say. I'm thinking of Darren Walls. I'm thinking about the freaking, who is it? Was Darren Walls the guy from Woodland Hills? I believe it was. Yep, he played at Notre Dame. And he's only 34 years old. I think, yeah, Pitt recruited him, I remember. He just, one inaugural year, he recruited him. I think he committed to Notre Dame after they beat the crap out of us in that opening thing, I believe. Or he did, or was it before, either one. It was around that same time. Pitt's offensive line, you know, it's they're returning all five starters. Carter Warren, Marcus Miner, Owen Drexel, Jake Cradle, Gabe Hoy. And also the Matt Goncalves and Blake Zubovic. I mean, they've got, that's going to be their big thing right there. But I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, one time their strength was running back, and now they've got a lot more than that. On defense, you know, they're returning seven linemen with starting experience. I mean, we're talking Baldonado, Desmond Alexander, John Morgan, and then of course you got Nate Temple, who's, you know, Charlie's pretty high on. Kalijah Kansi, I'm butchering names like hell this today. Of course, you got linebacker Savosia Dennis. Although that's the big thing is the linebackers. That's a huge thing. That's a big question mark. You know, they have Brandon George, and of course Bengali Kamara. They've been talking about a lot. They like Shane Simon as well, and supposedly Tyler Wiltz they like as well. Pat Narduzzi is pretty high on a lot of these guys, and if Pat's high on these guys, and you know, well, yeah. And of course, Pitt's returning three starters in the secondary: Marquise Williams, Eric Hallett, and Brandon Hill. I just talked about him, or was that different, Brandon Hill? Oh, yeah, I thought about Brandon George. I'm sorry. That was at linebacker. So, yeah, Brandon Hill comes back. I mean, they – and, of course, they got, you know, A.J. Woods and M.J. Devonshower. I mean, they've you know, Pitt's going to be looking pretty well in that. And of course, special teams. Got Sam Skarton. I mean, Pat's pretty high on his kickers. I mean, he's got Skarton, Sauls, Caleb Junka, supposedly. Of course, they got punters. Right now, it's between Cam Gesser, freshman Sam Vanderhaar, a punter. Things are kind of weird here. I mean, looking at this for what Amanda has broke down for us here. There's a lot to take in here. I mean, this. I would say this. This preview makes you feel really good about yourself. I mean, as a Pitt fan, definitely it does. It's. I don't know. It's weird. And it's just too crazy. But I mean, last year we had a team that was 11-3. We had a first round draft pick that was our quarterback, and we had a Blinnikoff at receiver, you know, and somehow we still managed to lose to Western Michigan, and Miami is Miami. We always lose to them. And I think, you know, Desmond Howard has this as a he has us as one of the teams to go to the college football playoff. Which, you know, as a Pitt fan, you're still kind of worried out by these things. You're still worried out by a lot of this stuff that's happening. But I would argue that Pitt's golden opportunity to probably play in the college football playoff was last year, when they had guys like Pickett and Addison. And there's just so many question marks. Yeah, it's just all too weird. But as if I'm going to break down the wins here for Pitt. Let's see. The first week they got West Virginia, that's a win. I have Tennessee as a loss, mainly because of how Tennessee caught on last year. And we kind of got lucky last year against Tennessee because we went against really bad quarterback play. And Josh Heupel's offense scores a lot of points, but I think Pitt can probably... I mean, I almost penciled this as a win because I feel if Pitt can control the tempo of this game, and one thing about Tennessee is their offensive line isn't good. If Pitt can get pressure on the quarterback, Pitt can force this team to make a lot of mistakes. But unfortunately, I have them as a loss. Western Michigan next week is a win. Rhode Island's a win. Georgia Tech's a win. I have Virginia Tech as a win as well, but they're going up against Brent Pry, who knows Pitt. He played, you know, he coached at Penn State. Now I have them playing Louisville. Now I have them losing to Louisville, which is at Louisville after the Virginia Tech win. They're going up against Malik Cunningham, who basically is almost like a Lamar Jackson type player. The guy can flat out make plays. And I think that's going to be one of those games where Pitt usually has at least one what the fuck loss per season. That's probably going to be it, the one there, I believe. They'll beat North Carolina the next week because we watched North Carolina did start out the season last week and people are, I don't know, they're playing Florida A&M and people are talking about how dominant they were, and I think Florida A&M U was missing like 20 players because of the APR crap. Syracuse will win. I almost had UVA as a loss because of Brennan Armstrong, but they have a new coach. Their defense is pretty bad. And we saw that. I mean, they obviously can score points. They just give up a lot. And with a new coach, I'm not sure how that's going to factor in. So I got Pitt winning that game. And then I have them beating Duke. And I have them playing against Miami, and I have them losing to Miami. I think Pitt doesn't win the Coastal this year. I think it's Miami. The ACC, I believe, is going to be Miami versus Clemson because I think that's Pitt Wake Forest, I think the ACC probably wants a Miami Clemson championship game. But it's gonna be really up to Miami to do that, because Miami has to win games. You know, I think, you know, if you look at the conference initially, I mean, how the divisions were laid out, it was basically set up for Clemson, FSU to dominate the one side, and it's mostly been true. You know, FSU has been the two national title games. Clemson's been the several as well. So the Atlantic has been set up for Clemson, FSU to dominate. But eventually you have some few wrinkles that come through, like Wake Forest. But on the other side of it, I think they had it set up to where you're going to get probably either Miami, Virginia Tech. Yeah, they had this set up to where it would be either Miami or Virginia Tech, possibly North Carolina to represent the Coastal. But I don't think they factored in the fact that the last 3 years, if you're excluding the pandemic year. Let's see, you have Pitt, UVA, and then Pitt as your Coastal champs. In fact, let's take a look at this, for instance. Let's look at the champions since expansion began. See, Pitt joined them, was it 2013 or 2012? What was it? 2012, I think. Let's see. 2012, the Coastal was represented by Georgia Tech. Then the next year, 2013, was Duke. 2014, it was represented by Georgia Tech. 2015, you had North Carolina. 2016, Virginia Tech. 2017, Miami. Then Pitt, UVA, and Pitt. So, I mean, the last 3 years has been, you know, it's been either Pitt or Virginia. But you've also had Georgia Tech and Duke also in there as well. Georgia Tech was there twice. But I think this was set more for Miami, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina to reap the benefits. It hasn't really worked out like they wanted to. You know, Beamer Ball has fallen apart, or it fell apart. Miami's been whatever, but for some reason we can't beat them if our lives dependent on it. North Carolina gets plenty of hype all the time, and I don't understand why. But I think this year my ACC probably wants a Miami Clemson. I think that's what's going to happen. But oh no, I have Pitt finishing, let's see, with only two losses. So three losses, 9-3. 9-3 still isn't a bad year. Is Pitt capable of more than 9 wins? Of course. They're more than they are. It's just I don't really feel comfortable with putting those expectations on them. Because I know what happens usually. I don't think I picked them last year to win the ACC either. No, I didn't. And to be honest with you, I probably never will. Unless they're like Clemson, they keep, you know, I'm going to say, oh, yeah, it's Pitt's, you know, Pitt's the win. I'm having a hard time with that yet. I don't know, maybe I'll get over it one day, who knows. But, yeah, Miami, Clemson wins the ACC. SEC, I got Bama and Georgia. I think Nick Saban, obviously, is going to go for the revenge. He wants revenge. So Bama's going to finish business. Big 12, I got surprisingly Oklahoma State winning it. I was going to go with Oklahoma, but new coach. People are picking Baylor, but I'm not really comfortable with Baylor. I think Oklahoma State's bringing back their quarterback, and I think if he can lower down the turnovers, they're fine. Pac-12, I got Utah. And the Big 10, I got Ohio State. With the revenge. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much what I got as far as the whole thing goes. As far as the ACC goes, I think Clemson, Wake Forest, obviously they lost their quarterback. Hartman's out. I do think Louisville could be a surprise team in the Atlantic. People just love North Carolina State. I'm just not convinced with them yet. They couldn't win the Atlantic even when Clemson was down last year. So I just don't. They're gonna be a program that always hovers around 9-3, 8-4, which isn't bad. I would kill for that. Although we always hover around 7-5, 8-4, but if Pitt has another double digit win season, or they win the Coastal Conference, then yeah, I'm gonna feel really weird. So, but yeah, I wasn't gonna pick Pitt this year to win the conference. I just wasn't comfortable with it. It's just all too weird for me. Reading a lot of that, especially reading Amanda's preview as well. It was too freaking weird. Especially after they lost a first round pick, a quarterback, and a Blitnikoff winner. I don't know. Something's weird. Anyways, I'm done here, guys. I think that's really all I got to talk about. I mean, I think Thursday I'll talk about I have Pitt being West Virginia, and I'll have to talk about the opening games as well, which I will, I'm sure, because I'll probably talk about the Backyard Brawl on Friday, if I feel like it. Depends on the outcome of the game. Anyways, guys, have a great week, and let's count down to game day. Hail to Pitt.